All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. The message this morning. First Samuel chapter 17. Now, you looked at this chapter and you said, oh, yeah, that's where David killed Goliath, right? Is that what everybody said? You say, pastor's going to preach on David killing Goliath. Well, sort of, kind of, almost. All right, let's look at this chapter, and I want to, it's a lengthy story, you know that. It's, my goodness, there's 58 verses in this chapter, and it takes a little while to tell the story, all that's going on here. Just in a nutshell, let me just review it with you so that you're up with what's going on. The children of Israel, Saul, King Saul, and his army are on one side of the mountain, and then on the other side is the Philistines, all right, the Philistine army. And they are at a place here where I think probably because they were evenly matched. That's my personal opinion. And they stood there and looked at one another, and they thought to themselves, you know, if we just go at it here, a lot of people are going to get killed. So the Philistines had this unique little advantage. And this little unique advantage they had was they had several men in their ranks who were giants. I'm talking big guys, like over 10 feet tall. Some folks think they were 11 feet tall. Great big dudes, and there was a bunch of them. It wasn't just Goliath. There were several of them. And so what they decided was they sent Goliath out, and he confronted the entire army. And he basically said to the Jews, all right, I am going to be their representative. I'm going to be their champion. And you choose you a champion, and you send him out, and we will go at it. And the one that wins, the loser will serve the winner from now on. So instead of all of us coming and a bunch of people getting killed, you choose one. I'm going to represent the Philistines. We're going to fight, and the winner takes all. All right, look at verse 25, it says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Now, the point is, the children of Israel, they didn't like this challenge very well. Saul was the biggest guy in, you remember, he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Remember that? And he was the biggest guy. And Saul was not about to go out there and fight Goliath. Goliath towered over him. And so David walks up to his brothers and says, what's going on? And they told him, and he said, well, why don't you go fight? And that's when they asked this question, have you seen this man? Have you seen this guy? You know, I knew what I was preaching on last night, and I'm watching the Yankees Astros game, and the Yankees have a right fielder. His name's Aaron Judge. He is a horse. He is 6'7". He is just a horse. What got me was they were playing the Orioles, and Judge was on first base, and he was standing beside our first baseman, Chris Davis, and Aaron Judge made Chris Davis look like a child. I mean, it was like a man standing beside a boy. And I thought, I was sitting there last night watching Aaron Judge just jump out of the stadium and catch a ball out of bounds. It would have been a home run over the fence. And he caught it and brought it back in. That's not fair. You get Goliath out in right field. That's not fair. And basically, that's what was going on here. This guy was huge. Folks, I can't get you to understand just how massive this man was. And so here's what they said. Have you seen this man? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and shall be, and it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter. That didn't turn out to be such a good deal right there, that give him his daughter thing. You can read about that later on. And make his father's house free in Israel. You know what that means? No taxes. The man that kills Goliath, he was going to become wealthy. He was get to marry the king's daughter, which wasn't all that good of a deal. And then he would live tax-free in Israel. And so, in other words, Saul was desperate. Somebody needs to go fight this guy besides me. Saul's desperate, and here's what I'll do for you, if you will. Well, David said to his brothers in verse 29, is there not a cause? In other words, shame on you guys for not wanting to go fight. David said, somebody needs to go fight this guy. He is blaspheming God. And David said, shame on you guys for not going to fight. I'll go fight him. And you know what really bothers me? Everybody said, okay. I mean, David is a teenager, folks. And there's King Saul, and Saul said, well, all right, good. God bless you, David. And they let him go. All of his brothers said, sounds like a good idea to me. And they let their own brother go against a giant of a man. I tell you, folks, this is sad if you want my opinion. Well, what happened? Well, look at in verse 38. It says, Saul armed David. Well, bless his heart. Bless his heart. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Can you see? He said, here, put my armor on. Well, David could take two steps before the armor moved. That's the point. And he said, I can't wear this. I haven't ever proved this. Look at verse 40. And he took, David, took his staff, his shepherd's staff, in his hand, and chose him, what's the next word? Five smooth stones. Five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in his shepherd's bag. All right, now, what happened? Well, you keep reading on down, and you will say, you will see that in verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I like that. Sling, slang, 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 slanged. I don't know, but he let her rip. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Now, you know why he did that? Because he had proved them. You see, he killed a lion and a bear with a slingshot. Maybe when we go to Israel in a couple of weeks out in the country, you'll see a little boy, and he'll have a sling in his hand, and he'll put a rock in that thing, and he'll spin it over his head, and then he'll turn one side of it loose, and they get so good with those things, they can throw them really good. Just like a kid today with a slingshot, or a kid today with a BB gun. And they'll take that thing and twirl it over their head, and whew, and they'll set those rocks a-sailing, boy. It's amazing to watch them. Well, that's what David did. And when you're sitting out in the wilderness taking care of sheep, that's a pretty good tool to have. You know, you entertain yourself out there for hours with a slingshot. And so you get good at it. And so what'd he do? Well, read on, it says, but there was no sword, verse 50, in his hand, in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine. So David ran out, stood on Goliath, took his sword out of the sheath, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. All right, now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, slaying giants. Slaying giants. All right, now, look back at verse 40. It says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him, and again, what's the next word? Five smooth stones. All right, now, why did he do that? All right, now, hold your place here and go over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Hold your place in 17 and flip over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want you to look at verse 15. Verse 15. It says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Now, listen carefully. The time between 1 Samuel 17 and 2 Samuel 21 is 50 years. 50 years. All right? David is now a 78-year-old man. He's old. And yet he is still, he's still king and he's still fighting. But notice, he doesn't fight like he used to. You know, someone said, can you still whoop Josh? Yeah, but I got to do it in 30 seconds or I get winded. You with me on that? Okay. All right. And that's what's wrong with David here. David is old and he just doesn't have the endurance. He doesn't have the strength. He waxed faint in the fight. Now look at verse 22. In between verse 16 and 21, we have a story about some men who were sons, descendants of Goliath. In verse 16, there's a fellow by the name of Ishbi-Benob, and he was a son of the giant. Verse 16, what giant? Goliath. If you look at verse 17, there is, or verse 18, there is a guy named Saph. And then in chapter verse 19, there's another fella mentioned who was slain by a guy named Elhanan. Then another one in verse 20 who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. And he was killed in this battle. And you look at verse 22, it says, these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, folks, go back to verse 21 of chapter 7, or verse 40 of chapter 17 again, and you will see that when David fought Goliath way back here when he was a teenager, when David fought Goliath, all right, everybody look at me now. When he fought Goliath way back here, he had how many stones? Big hint. Five stones in his bag. He had five. Why did he have five stones? Because he's no fool. He could stand there and look down at across the way at the Philistine army, and he saw Goliath, and no doubt standing right behind Goliath were his four boys. And they're just as big as he is. Each one of them is standing there with a spear that is as big as a weaver's beam. In other words, about 4x4. And he's standing there with, they're all standing there looking just as mean and ugly as their old ratty looking daddy was. And so here he is standing there looking at them, and he goes to the stone, to the brook, and gets five stones. Why? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This man's blaspheming God. You say, well, David, you don't have a chance against those giants. What are you talking about? The Lord will fight the battle for me. The Lord delivered that bear. The Lord delivered that lion. And he'll deliver this old Philistine into my hands. And that's exactly what happened. But he had five stones. Why? Because he had five members of that family. You with me? Now, what happened? Well, David went down there. He put that rock in that sling, started turning that thing, and turned it loose. And man, like a nuclear explosion, wham, it hit Goliath right between the eyes. Down he went and fell over dead as a doornail. David then went over, pulled his sword out, cut his head off, held it up, and then went running back to the Israelites to show the Israelites and listen to all the accolades. Everybody, yay, David. Way to go, David. Awesome. And what happened to the Philistine? They all fled. So in other words, listen to me now. Listen, the Philistines, the four, got away. But David had to fight them 50 years later. 50 years later, he's still fighting those same giants. All right, let's pray real quick. Father, help us now this morning. I pray as we make this application that you will bless it to our hearts. I pray you'll encourage us. And Father, help us to realize, help young people here this morning to realize this truth. Oh, if teenagers now could learn this truth now, today, oh, what a difference it would make in their lives. So, Father, I pray that you will bless what we're about to see and use it for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, the battle was won on that day, but the war was not won. The battle was won, but the war was not won. I mean, the years passed, and when you get to the to 2 Samuel 21, David is now a 78-year-old man. He has fought hard his whole life. His body is tired. His reflexes were not what they used to be. His strength was not what it once was. And in the latter part of this chapter, the same Philistines that fought against Israel and against David in 1 Samuel 17 are once again coming up against David and his men. Once again, he's fighting. And what we learn is that in their ranks, there were some giants. There were some giants. As a matter of fact, there were four of them that were coming against David and trying to kill him. Now, do you remember how many smooth stones David took from the creek? He took five. He took five. Why? Because Goliath had four other members of his family who got the giant gene. And so David could look down and see five of them standing down there. Five giants, and he knew they were all related, and he knew that if he killed Goliath, he was probably going to have to kill them as well. So he took five stones with him. Now, folks, here's the message this morning. All of us have some giants that would destroy us. There are some giants that would ruin all of us if they could. When we get the opportunity to destroy the giants, we best take that opportunity before the giants slay us. Now, let's look at these four giants. Everybody look now at 2 Samuel chapter 21, and let's look at these giants that David had to meet later on in his life. Oh, had he only killed them back here. Folks, look at me. Had he only killed them back here, I mean, when he had the chance, when he had the opportunity, if he had not taken that head of Goliath and run up into the camp and let everybody pat him on the back and tell him what a fine job he had done and how wonderful he was, if he had only just held the head up, let everybody see that he had gotten the victory, dropped it, then turned around and went after the others, things could have been different for David. But he didn't do that. And they fled. And now, 50 years later, because he didn't kill them back here, he still has to face them today. Nod your head. You with me on that? All right, so let's look at him. All right, look at verse 16. Here's the first one that he comes up against. You'll notice here, it says and at the end of verse 15, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels. If you had 300 shekels sitting up here, and you had 300 shekels on in a cloth, and you take that and pick it up, 300 shekels. That's how much the head on his spear weighed. 300 shekels weight. Imagine that. I'm telling you, this guy was a huge man. His spear had a tip on it that weighed 300 shekels. His name is Ishbi-benob. I did a little checking, and the name Ishbi-benob, according to one of the guys that studies all this stuff, and his name is Jesenius. Jesenius said that Ishbi-benob means my dwelling is upon the highest. My dwelling is upon the highest. One of the sources that I have searched also, and I think is a reliable source for all this stuff, he said that the name means I am the highest of them all. Now, I want you to notice something there, folks. There is a common thread with both definitions, and that is the word highest. In other words, this giant pictures a problem that has ruined and destroyed a lot of folks. And that is the giant of pride. Pride. This man, his name was, I'm the highest, I'm the best, I'm it, I'm the man. And the giant of pride, I'm telling you folks, has done more to ruin folks than any of us can imagine. How dangerous is the sin of pride? The demon of pride was born with us, and it will not die one minute before us. The scriptures tell us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, in verse 16 and 17, that there are six things that God hates, and one of the things that God hates in us is the sin of pride. And I want you to notice that when old David cut his head off, he held it up, and then he went back into the camp of the Israelites and took all of their accolades and all of their praise upon him. David dropped Goliath's head and turned and go after the other giants. Go after him, David. If you don't, that pride that you're exhibiting right here is going to rise up, and it's going to defeat you one of these days. You better go after it. One of the hardest things, folks, one of the hardest things is to say to God, I have sinned. That's one of the hardest things to say. One of the hardest things to say to another person is, I am sorry. And the reason is because this old sinful pride that fills our hearts. Why is it so difficult to admit that we are wrong? And all of us battle pride as we go through life. You say, well, Pastor, how do you defeat pride? Well, look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Here's what happened. Verse 17 tells us that Abishai slew this giant, this son of Goliath, Ishbi-benob. If you look carefully at verse 17 and 18, I think that this is telling us that had it not been for Abishai there, Ishbi-benob would have killed David. You see, the word succored means to aid or to rescue. In other words, Abishai rescued David. David was, according to verse 15, waxing faint. David was waxing faint, but yet Abishai came and rescued David and killed Ishbi-benob. Now, here's the interesting thing. Abishai has a very intriguing name. His name means, listen to me now, short of my father. Short of my father. And again, this trusted source that I refer to says that his name means I am shorter than others. In other words, Abishai was not a big man. But he did not need to be a big man when he was trusting in God to help him. You see, folks, humility is the defense against pride. You will often hear folks say, oh Lord, humble our hearts. Let me tell you something, folks. It is not God's job to humble us. It is our job to humble ourselves. James says in 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Now, if we do not humble ourselves, the Bible tells us pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So if we do not humble ourselves, God will do it for us. And if God does it for us, we're probably not going to like it very well, but he will do it. I heard a country preacher down in West Virginia say one time, and when he said it, I wrote it down in my Bible, but he said, we are never going to see revival until big men get little enough to be big. I like that. I thought that was good. In other words, folks, we need to get rid of our pride and get ourselves out of the way and let God do something wonderful in our hearts. Then there was a second giant. Oh, David, if you just killed Ishbi-benob back here, if you just got, you wouldn't have to have fought him 50 years later. You wouldn't have had to still be after him. Then number two, I want you to notice verse 18. Look at 18. There's another giant, a second giant. It says, and it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. So now we have a second one. We have Saph, and Saph was slain by Sibekai. Now this fellow is an interesting character. Saph, I looked up his name. Here's what his name means. It means double-faced, like a two-sided door. Double-faced, like a two-sided door. Do you remember our generation? I'm talking about the 60s and the early 70s. Do you remember when we were in high school and we talked about somebody being two-faced? Oh, she's two-faced. Oh, he's two-faced. Boy, if you were branded as two-faced, you were the scum of the earth. Remember that? That means that you would hear something on somebody. And then you would tell it to everybody you could tell it to. And you didn't care, just as long as it was juicy gossip, man, you were willing to let it fly. All right, well, that's the idea here. Double-faced like a two-sided door. And what really makes him interesting is that the in the writings of the rabbis, they discussed a legend. And that's all it was, a legend. There's no Bible for it. But they discussed a legend, and it was greatly believed that Saph was a double agent, that he was a Philistine, but that he had been won over by the Israelis, and that he would bring information to the Israelis that they had convinced him to work for them and to tell them what the Philistines were up to. So Saph represents to us the giant of hypocrisy. The giant of hypocrisy. Now, what is a hypocrite? Well, a hypocrite is somebody who is not himself on Sunday. All right, let that sink in. A hypocrite is somebody who is not himself on Sunday. If I am reading my Bible correctly, and I think I am, my Bible tells me that God hates hypocrisy. I mean, he just despises it. God does not like our hypocrisy. In Amos chapter 5, God rebukes Israel because they live like the devil day after day after day, but then on the feast days, they would get all spiritual and go through the motions as if they love God with all their hearts. And in chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, God said to them, I hate your feast days. I just hate them. I hate the way you behave on your feast days. Why? Because they're hypocrites. Live like the devil the rest of the year, and then on feast day, you get all pious and spiritual before God. And God said, I despise your feast days. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. You say, well, why would God not accept their offerings? Well, because of the blatant hypocrisy of sinful living the rest of the time. You see, folks, you cannot live like the devil on Monday through Saturday and come to God's house on Sunday and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and expect God to be impressed. He's not. We say we love the Lord, but then we don't serve Him. We say we love the Lord, but then we never read His Word. You see, if God hated and despised the hypocrisy of His people in the Old Testament, can you imagine how He must be disgusted with the hypocrisy that God sees today among His people? And look at your Bible. Saph was slain by a giant named Sibekai. Sibekai. You say, well, I've never heard that name before. I know it's strange, isn't it? You know what his name means? His name means, I am dead to self. Isn't that interesting? I am dead to self. You want to know what the answer to hypocrisy is? It's die to self. I think this is one of the biggest problems we face today in our churches. I mean, in this self-centered, egotistical, selfie-snapping, look-at-me, Facebook-minded, Twitter-oriented, Instagram, I am the center of the universe world in which we live. We don't have time to give God our lives because we are too busy making our own lives seen and viewed by everybody else in the world. Amen, preacher. You know it's true, don't you? God did not create us to exalt ourselves, folks. God did not create us to exalt ourselves. I was sitting down, Dr. Smith and I went to an Orioles game back in the summer, and we were sitting down there, and there was a couple sitting in front of us, and they were sitting there and getting all close and lubby-dubby and, you know, snapping pictures and all this stuff. And every time they would do it, I would put two fingers up or I'd put two fingers over here. And that guy turned around and he said, would you quit? And I said, no, I'm not going to quit. I said, I'm trying to watch a ball game. Here you are snapping pictures. I can't see for it. But I was laughing when I said it. And I said, you want me to take your picture? He goes, would you? I said, sure. So I sit there and I just run, you know, if you hold that button, just, you know how they do? I must have taken him 400 pictures and I handed it back. I said, that ought to hold you. He looked down and he saw, good grief, he said. Oh, it was hilarious. We were dying laughing. That's our world. Man, we don't care if the whole world knows what we're doing, what we're thinking. I'm at the store. I'm at Starbucks. I'm here. I'm there. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you go to church Sunday? Number three, look at chapter, look at verse 19. All right, so we got Ishbi-benob, then we got Saf. Ishbi-benob was slain by Abishai, and Saf was slain by Sibbekai. Then look at verse 19. It says, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of that guy, Jareoregim, bless his heart, of a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff whose spear was like a weaver's beam. You say, well, Pastor, there's no name there. All right, well, hold your place here, okay? And now go over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, and I'll show you his name. 1 Chronicles 20. 1 Chronicles 20. Everybody with me? You follow me? You asleep? You better not be asleep. If I can't sleep, you can't sleep, all right? All right, look at 1 Chronicles 20, verse 5. Now here's the Chronicles view of this whole thing. And in verse 5 it says, and there was a war again with the Philistines. That sound familiar? That's because it's the same story. All right, it says, and Elhanan, is that familiar? Yep. The son of Jair slew Lami, there he is, Lami, L-A-H-M-I, Lami, the brother of Goliath the Gittite, whose spear, staff, was like a weaver's beam. So here's another one. All right, so Lami, what's his name mean? Well, his name means hatred. Hatred. Now, folks, think about that for a minute. Remember now, David was a teenager. 50 years later, we're now seeing David in his old age have to go against these sons of Goliath. He should have killed him back here, but he didn't do it. He's now old. He doesn't have the strength he had. He doesn't have the endurance he had. And so his men have to step up and fight for him. They about killed him. They about put the light out, as they put it. They about put the light out for David. And so, here's this guy. His name is Lami, and his name is Hatred. Now, think about that for a minute. Here is a man who has lived 50 years of bitterness. He's got 50 years of bitterness boiling up in his soul toward David for killing Goliath all those years ago. Don't you think that old Lami was out for revenge against David? You can sure stir up a lot of hatred in 50 years, don't you think? I know some folks that have stirred up a lot of hatred in just a few weeks. 50 years? So this third giant was the giant of hatred. And you know that this can sometimes take on the form of envy or malice or sometimes strife or bitterness. And oh, how this giant can wreck and ruin a life. How many Christians have had their power stripped away by this giant? How many folks have been robbed of their spiritual zeal for God or robbed of their joy because they allowed this old ugly giant to creep in and destroy their lives? Oh, we're so quick to hate. I hate her. What? Oh, I hate him. You what? You hate them? Oh, my. Did not the Lord Jesus, folks, tell us that we are to love one another? Sure he did. We're to love one another. Look who brought this giant down. His name was Elhanan. Does that name sound all that threatening to you, Elhanan? You know, El means God. And Hanan means gracious. God is gracious to me. That's what he's saying. That's what his name is saying. You see, folks, God loves you. Even though You and I certainly do not deserve to be loved, do we? We're sinners. We're all sinners. We are sinners by choice. Oh, by the way, we're sinners all the time. And yet God is gracious to us, and God does not give us what we deserve. Instead, He loves us. And so when others offend us or they rub us the wrong way, hey, as God has forgiven you, forgive them. And just love your brother. This walking around going, I hate her. You hear teenagers out in the hall, oh, I hate him. You hate? Come on. You don't realize what you're saying. You ought to love everyone. What if God treated you like you treat everybody else? But you see, God loves you. And so ought you, all of us, to love one another. Don't let this mean old giant destroy you. Hey, young people, don't let this mean old giant destroy you. Just look at everybody else the same way God looks at you. That ought to be a fair approach to life. And don't let this ugly giant stand in the way and defeat you. And then there's one more. Back in 2 Samuel, look at verse 20. This guy's awesome. Look at this. In verse 20, it says, and yet there was yet a battle in Gath, another one, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born of the giant. Now notice that, folks. He had 6 fingers on each hand. Now look at yours. How many you got? All right, how many you got? It's not a trick question. You got 5, right? This guy had 6. Weirdo. You with me? Hey, had you seen this? You probably would have went, ew, look at that. But then you get up close and you notice he's 10 feet tall and he's got these massive hands and he's got 6 fingers on his hands. And then you look him down, you know, and you get down, and oh my soul, he's got 6 toes on each foot too. Weirdo. You with me? This guy is a little freaky. Would you admit that? This is just not right. This is not normal. He's got 6 fingers and 6 toes. Now, here's the point. You say, well, what's his name? We don't have a name. His deformity is the issue. His deformity is the issue. The truth is, this man possesses an abnormality. He possesses a deformity. This would kind of give you the willies if you saw it. And all through the Old Testament, God used that in animals as a picture of and a symbol of uncleanness. If something was deformed, it was unfit. It was unfit. And it was viewed as being impure. It had an impurity. And it was viewed as impure. And this is a giant that is slaying multitudes of people today. This is a picture of impurity and uncleanness that is just literally flooding our culture today. I'm talking the pornography and the nudity and internet perversion and stuff that's on TV and stuff that's in commercials and stuff that's on the billboards. Perversion is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in your video games. It's in the music that your kids are listening to. It's in the movies that come out of Hollywood. It's in the television that comes out of Hollywood. It's in the internet. You name it, it's everywhere. And it is a giant that you better slay early in your life, because if you don't, the day is going to come when you're going to have to face it again, and you may not have the strength to stand against it that when you get older. Oh, it'll knock the socks off of you. It'll knock you down. I can't tell you how many people used to sit in these seats where you are, but they no longer come. You know why? Because six-fingered, six-toed guy was out there waiting on them one day, knocked them over the head, and now their lives are ruined. Their lives are ruined. And notice, folks, notice, here's the argument. Well, you know, one extra finger or one extra toe, that's not that bad. That's not that bad. That's what folks say about their sin. Well, my sin's not that bad. Really? It's not that bad? Folks, sin is sin. What do you mean it's not that bad? Let's suppose you had your neighbor says, hey, bud, there's smoke coming out of the corner of your house. Yeah, it's okay. It's just a little rag fire over in the corner. No worries. It's not a big deal. Now, you better put the fire out. And you know, there's a lot of folks that when they get 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age, you know, they stumble onto something and look at it, and man, that starts a fire burning. And you can't put the fire out. Better be careful. Better be careful. Now, let me give you something else to think about. Can you imagine what kind of grip a fella with six fingers would have? Especially a guy 10 feet tall. A guy 10 feet tall? I got five fingers. If I was 10 feet tall and I grabbed Chris by the arm, what are you, about 3'4"? What are you, 3'5", 3'6"? Thereabout, 3'7". If I was 10 feet tall, I'd grab hold of Chris. I'm on him. I could just about grab his whole head if I was 10 feet tall, right? Can you imagine if I had six fingers, the grip I would have? Could you imagine the grip you would have if you had six fingers on your hand? And boy, a lot of folks back here, when they should have slain that giant back here, they didn't do it. And then over here somewhere, old six fingers got a hold of them. And boy, when he got that death grip on them, they couldn't get loose. They couldn't get loose. I cannot tell you, folks, how many times I've had people come in my office, Pastor, I just need to turn this loose. And they can't. They can't. Why? Because old six fingers has got a hold of them. That's why. Won't turn them loose. Folks, listen. Go back to 1 Samuel 17 in your mind. Jonathan. Jonathan, the giant was slain by a man named Jonathan. You know what Jonathan means? The Lord giveth. The Lord giveth. In other words, only the Lord can give you the strength to win the battle over your flesh. That's the only one that can give you the strength to win over this giant. Only the Lord can help you live a holy and righteous life before God. Take the sword of David and go and turn around and slay that unclean monster now. Slay it now. If you don't, David, if you don't, surely he will come after you one day down the road. Now let's go back in our minds. Go back to the 17th chapter. David killed Goliath, but not these others. Oh, he had the ammunition to do it. Remember? In his pouch. He had the ammunition, but he didn't do it. He picked up Goliath's head and he marched back into the camp where the men of Israel cheered and shouted his name. Wait a minute, David, you've got four others. Go after them. Go after them, David. And David knew he had four others. That's why he had five rocks in his pocket. You better kill them now, David. But he didn't do it. Now look at David's life from that day forward. Look at David's life. From that day forward, David's life was riddled with what? Impurity. David's life was riddled with what? Hypocrisy. Remember the whole Uriah, Bathsheba thing? David's life was filled with fruit, the fruit of hatred from his own family. His kids hated his intestines. They hated him. His wives hated him. Michael, Saul's daughter, hated him. She despised the ground he walked on. David, you should have killed all those giants back there. If you had of, things probably would have been a whole lot different up here. If you don't kill them there, you'll have to face them here.